and take your Bibles, please, and turn to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16. I'm going to preach on a very familiar verse of Scripture this morning. And Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. It says, "And he," of course, this is the Lord Jesus, "and he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God and for the opportunity to open this blessed old book and have you speak to our hearts. And I pray that this morning you would do just that, that you'd help us to be open, help us to be sensitive to the work of your Holy Spirit. Lord, bless this preaching time. I pray that you'd speak to every one of us this morning in that way that only you can. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. When someone leaves this earth, their last words take on added importance. You know, you gather around their bedside and you bend your head low to listen carefully to that person's last words and wishes. Well, before Jesus left this earth, his last words were the church's marching orders, which are often referred to as the Great Commission. And Christ recorded his Great Commission five times, once in each gospel and once in Acts. And each time it's phrased so differently that it must have been a command repeated on five separate occasions. Jesus wanted to put a spotlight on the mission of the church, which is to take the gospel to the whole world and reach the lost for Christ. Now, here at Community Baptist Church, we support missionaries. If you want to know who they are, well, their pictures are on the missionary board back here. You can see who they are. Their pictures are there. It'll tell you where they are. If you want to be updated on what they're doing, Paula Toti keeps a notebook in the back of the church in which she puts all of their prayer letters as they come in. You can take those prayer letters. You can read them. You can find out what the missionary's doing, where they are, learn about their family, and any prayer needs that they might have. And then, of course, pretty soon here, we're going to be working on a new bookmark for you to keep in your Bible that is updated with the list of all of the missionaries that we support. So when you're reading your Bible, then it comes time to pray, you know our missionaries, and you can be praying for them. And so we support missionaries. You know that earlier this month, on the first weekend of the month, we were supposed to have our missions weekend, but our speaker had a death in his family and was not able to be with us, and so we kind of postponed that. But I've tried to have a missionary emphasis this month. Last Sunday night, we had Mike Viscombe with Gospel Text Mission. This morning, we have the White family going to the Philippines. Next Sunday morning, we have the state coordinator for Operation Christmas Child, who's going to be with us in the morning service. And so we've been emphasizing missions this month. And that's what I want to do again this morning. I want to spotlight missions, and specifically missions giving. And I want you to consider with me this morning three simple points. Three simple points. First, I want you to see missions mandate. Missions mandate. That is, I want us to examine why we as a church should even have a missions program and why we should ask people to give to missions. Now, as I said a moment ago, five separate times, Jesus repeated some form of what we call the Great Commission. But in our text here, in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, this is the one we're going to consider this morning, where Jesus says, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." And I'd like to take a few moments here and just kind of dissect this verse and see just what is God's idea for missions. And the first thing we see here is the personnel That is, who are the personnel of missions? Who is Jesus talking to? Who is responsible to carry out this task? Well, the scripture says, go ye. Go ye. This is real simple. We are the ye, that's you, and that's me. I sound like Dr. Seuss, don't I? We are the ye, that's you, and that's me. In other words, it's our responsibility to take the gospel to the world. So he says, go ye. We are the personnel of missions. Now, the second thing we see in this verse is the place. Where are we to go? Jesus says, go ye into all the world. We've been given the task to take the good news, the glad tidings of Christ, into all the world. So what's the place of missions? Every place is the place of missions. And then we also see the plan. The plan. Now, you don't need to be a theologian to understand this. It's very clear. The plan is preach the gospel to every creature. The word preach means to proclaim. And this is really basic. Jesus says we're to proclaim the gospel to every person. Somehow, some way, God says that your job and my job as believers is to proclaim the gospel, the message of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus for our sins. And we are to proclaim it to every person, everywhere, excuse me, in the world. And when you look at the early church in the book of Acts, you see how this is to be done. It's done through everyday believers like you, witnessing for Christ where you live and where you work. It's done through preachers preaching the gospel in local churches, in local communities. And it's done by churches sending missionaries to the rest of the world. And that's how they did it in the New Testament. Christians first witnessed in Jerusalem, the cradle of Christianity, and then they went to the outlying regions where when the first persecution dispersed believers to Judea and Samaria, and then they went to the larger Middle East, and then it radiated throughout the rest of the world when the first missionaries, Paul and Barnabas, were sent out in Acts chapter 13. Now, we've been going through the book of Acts on Wednesday nights here. We're getting down near the end now. We just have a couple of chapters left. But what we've seen is that the first half of the book of Acts is about evangelism at home and in nearby areas. And the other half is devoted to the missionary endeavors of Paul. And I figure this. If the whole book of Acts is about proclaiming the gospel to every creature, and if half of it is about foreign missions, and if Jesus commanded us to go and spread the gospel five separate times, that means missions is important. Missions is important. It is the lifeblood of God's church. It ought to be the heartbeat of every local church. And when a church is focused on the Great Commission, both here and abroad, it doesn't have time for bickering and fighting, does it? It's too busy carrying out the business of the believer. It's too preoccupied with accomplishing the charge of the church. It's too busy carrying out the mandate of the master. And I'll tell you this, if we're going to do what God has called us to do at Pasco Community Baptist Church, we've got to keep missions at the forefront. It must be something we all see as a vitally important part of this church. It must be something we take seriously enough to get involved in personally. And then leads us to the second thing I want you to see this morning. Not just missions mandate, but the second thing I want you to consider is missions involvement. Missions involvement. Here at Pasco Community Baptist Church, we have one of the most exciting methods to accomplish the task of missions that I've ever known. It's what we call, and many others do as well, we call it Faith Promise Missions. Faith Promise Missions. It's based on Paul's teaching in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9, where the churches of what are now Turkey and Greece made a commitment to Paul for a specific period of time to give in order to help the believers in Jerusalem undergoing a famine. But there are several important things about this. The first principle of faith promise is that it is not to help the local church in any way. This is about others. And what we do here is we ask you to pray and to consider giving a faith promise commitment, a faith promise offering over and above your regular tithe. You know, the Bible talks about tithes and offerings. And the tithe, well, that belongs in the Lord's house on the Lord's day to do the Lord's work right here in our community. But faith promise is an offering you give over and above your regular tithes. And this money is not used for anything for this church. We don't benefit from this in any material way whatsoever. 100% of the money will go to missionaries and mission projects. A faith promise commitment is a commitment you make between you and God to give a certain amount of money on a systematic basis, whether it's every week or every 2 weeks or every month, for a specific period of time. Now, in our case, we always do it from October to October. And when you give it, it is solely for the cause of missions. Now, if you would, I want you to turn with me to 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 and look quickly at five important truths about faith promise giving. So, 1 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9 this morning. Five important truths about faith promise giving. First of all, it is a grace. Look at chapter 8, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches in Macedonia. When it says we do you to wit, that means we want you to know. We want you to know of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Now, Paul describes their giving towards this offering as the grace of God. And he refers to it that way three other times as well, verses 6, 7, and 19. Paul calls it grace. In other words, giving a faith promise offering to missions through your local church on a systematic basis is not a burden. It's not to be a burden. It's a blessing. It's a blessing. It reveals God working in your life. It's showing that God has graciously blessed you so that you can be a help to others. So it's a matter of grace. Secondly, it's a way for you to experience the supernatural power of God. Look at verses 2 and 3 here, chapter 8. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For in their power, I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. They were in deep poverty, but they gave, it says, beyond their power. Now, how in the world do you give beyond your power when you're in great affliction and deep poverty? Well, right there is why we call it faith promise. Faith promise. When you step out by faith to do something for God, that's when He shows Himself powerful. In 2 Chronicles chapter 6 and verse 9, chapter 16 verse 9, it says this: "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him." God is waiting for you to step out by faith and trust him to show himself strong to you. And I'll tell you this, over the years, I've heard hundreds of testimonies from people who saw God provide miraculously in order to provide their faith promise gift each week. And I can tell you from my own personal experience that God will do awesome things when we step out by faith. He really will. Now, the third aspect of faith promise is that it is completely voluntary. Look at verse 8 of chapter 8. "I speak," notice now, "not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love." Now, the tithe, that top 10% of your income, that's commanded by God, and that's the minimum obligation for the believer. But a faith promise is totally voluntary. He says, "I'm not commanding you to do this. This is something you choose to do voluntarily to prove the sincerity of your love." Paul didn't, you'll notice here that in verse 12, Paul talks about giving this special offering with a willing mind. And in chapter 9, verse 7, he says you should give the faith promise offering as you purpose in your heart. So listen, if you don't want to get in on what God's up to, then don't do it, because this is voluntarily. But can I say this? Don't spoil it for the rest of us who want to prove the sincerity of our love for God and who really want to see the power of God at work. Don't spoil it for the rest of us. And then fourth, let me say faith promise commitment is private. Chapter 9, verse 7. Look at that. It says, "Every man," notice, "according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give." Right? This is a matter of the heart. This is totally between you and the Lord. Or if you're married, it's between you and your spouse in the Lord. But it's a private matter. This is not between you and me as your pastor. This is not even between you and this church. This is between you and God. You pray and you ask God what you should give to world missions, and then you do it. And you trust God to supply that need. But it is just between you and him. You and him. And then lastly, a faith promise is systematic. Now, Paul first introduced the Corinthians to this offering in 1 Corinthians 16. He presented the challenge and encouraged them to give weekly, and then he planned to come by and pick up the gifts collected to deliver to Jerusalem. And let me just read to you how he told them to take this offering. 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2, he said, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye." And then he says this, "Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come." Paul didn't want them to wait till the last minute and take up an offering at the last moment. They wouldn't have been able to do it. They would have failed. He said, no, do it systematically, week by week, so we don't have to take a big gathering, or what we would call an offering, when I come to Corinth. Back then, like today, they received weekly wages, and so Paul tells them to give weekly. But the key thing is that we do it systematically and regularly. If you're paid weekly, you give weekly. If you're paid bi-weekly, you give bi-weekly. If you're paid monthly, you give monthly. But it's to be a regular and systematic giving to world missions through your local church. And so we've seen missions mandate, missions involvement. And then let me finish up by talking to you about this real quickly, and that is missions blessing. Missions blessing. There are wonderful blessings in being involved in missions giving by making a faith promise commitment. First of all, God promises material blessings. Look at chapter 9, verse 9. No, chapter 9, verse 6, rather. It says, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." God's saying, like he does in many other places in the Bible, that if you're a liberal giver to God's kingdom, he'll bless you liberally. I want you to look at one more verse, but not here, over in the Gospel of Luke. I want you to look at something Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, please. Luke chapter 6. Beginning of, we're just going to look at verse 38. This is Jesus speaking here, and he says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you." That's a Bible principle. You give, God gives back to you. But look how it comes back to you. "Give, and it shall be given you, good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." Now the question is this: do you believe the word of God? And if you do, then why not participate in our missions program by making a faith promise commitment and then watch God bless you? Now, the second thing I want to point out here concerning missions blessings is that by giving a faith promise offering, not only are there material blessings, but more importantly, there are spiritual blessings or eternal blessings, right? Jesus said this in Matthew 6, 19 and 20. He said, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust doth not corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal." And let me say this: every dollar given to missions adds to your treasure up in heaven. How's that? Well, it's through those who will be in heaven because you gave so that missionaries could go to foreign fields and preach the gospel. When Paul is writing to the Philippians, Paul teaches the Philippians that every time someone came to Christ under his ministry, not only did he get credit for his missionary work in reaching that person, but the Philippians, who supported Paul on a systematic basis, just as we support missionaries today, they also received credit for it with God. In Philippians 4, 16 and 17, Paul writes this: "For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity." That is, they supported him regularly. And then he says this: "Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account." Your account. If you're giving to missions, then every time one of our missionaries leads someone to Christ, not only do they get credit for it, but you get credit for it before God. And so we've seen missions mandate, missions involvement, and missions blessing. Now, as I close, here's my challenge to you. Number one is pray. And pray specifically. Pray, "Lord, what do you want me to do in terms of giving to missions this coming year?" Pray specifically about that. And then next, step out by faith and get involved. Help get the gospel around the world by giving a generous, sacrificial missionary offering on a weekly basis through your local church. And then finally, be open to God's leading about what else you can do for missions, like praying faithfully for missionaries, or by staying in communication with the missionaries to offer them words of encouragement along the way. And how about surrendering yourself to be a missionary? Now, I know that we are all, everybody in this room who's a Christian is supposed to be a local missionary. We're supposed to be proclaiming that gospel to our friends, our family, our neighbors, our coworkers, our classmates. You've heard me say a million times, when we pass through the front door of the church, we are entering the mission field. And all around us, there are people who are hopeless and helpless and hurting and heading for hell. People that are in desperate need of Jesus. And we've got to be faithful and telling them about him. But how about being open to being a foreign missionary? You know, God is still calling people to the foreign mission field. Is he not, Brother White? Isn't he still calling people to the foreign mission field? Sure he is, right? Now, I'm not saying that God will call you. But I can tell you this, as believers, we should always be open to whatever God might call us to do. My pastor growing up was Pastor Walter Lanigan. Some of you know Walter. He's a relative of Betty's. Pastor Lanigan pastored the same church for 60 years. He started the church and he pastored it for 60 years. I prayed with him many, many times. And I heard him say this. Matter of fact, he was 90 years old, and I heard him pray this. He said, "Lord, I know you called me here to Franklin." Now, this is 90 years old. He said, "I know you called me here to Franklin, but I want you to know that if you call me to the foreign mission field, I'm still willing to go." 90 years old. I pray that God would help us to be just like that. Always open to whatever God might call us to do. And then let me finish with this. If you're here this morning and you've never been saved, you've never received Christ as your Savior, you need to know this. You are a mission field. And I'm here to tell you that you need Jesus more than you need anything this world has to offer you. Because he is your only hope of having your sins forgiven. And he is your only hope of getting into heaven. And so if you've never received Christ, if you've never invited him to be your Savior and Lord, then please, 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 see me after this service, because I would count it a great privilege and a great honor to sit down with you personally and individually and take you to this blessed old book and help you to come to know that you're saved, to know that Jesus is in your heart, to know your sins are forgiven, to know you're on your way to heaven. God wants you to know that, and we want you to know that. And as I said, I would count it a great privilege and a great honor to be able to help you settle that matter in your heart today. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these truths from your word. And I thank you, Lord, for sending your son to be our Savior. And I pray, Lord, that you would fill our hearts with a great desire to see people come to Christ. Here in our own area, help us to be faithful in sharing the gospel. But also, Lord, help us to be willing to do our part in reaching the rest of the world as well. Lord, help us to be mission-minded. Help us to keep this as the focus of our church. Lord, help us to realize that if we're not faithful in witnessing and we're not faithful in missions, that we're just wasting our time. Help us to be faithful to these things. And then, Lord, I do pray that if there's somebody here this morning that doesn't know you, I pray that today would be the day when they open up their heart and invite you in, the one who is the author of eternal life, the one who can wash sins away, the one who can give people an entrance into heaven. Lord, help them to put their faith and their trust in you and you alone as their Savior. We ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen.